Well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Romans chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on working with your mind. Working with your mind. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore. So there's a therefore, right? And when there's a therefore, you have to ask yourself, why for? Right? So the chapters 9, 10, and 11 are basically a big parenthetical reference in the book of Romans. They're a big aside. So if you turn back to the end of chapter 8, it's the section that goes over what God has done for us, about how much God loves us, right? You know, the verses that we're all familiar with, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us, that nothing's going to separate us from the love of God, right? That if God is for us, who will be against us, right? So that's the context of where it picks up again in chapter 12, verse 1. So, therefore, it's because of God's love for us, because of all that he did for us, because he's for us and not against us. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And a living sacrifice means to go all in, right? To sell out. That's what it is to be a living sacrifice for something. To sell out. To go all in. Because a sacrifice is typically something that you kill or you give up, right? But this is a living sacrifice. So you give your life, you go all in. And the commitment is a reasonable service, right? Which basically means it's logical as sons of God. Because what God did for you, it's only logical that you should do that. To go all in for God. And verse 2 talks about how we can do this, right? And be not conformed to this world. Conformed to this world, which basically means do not be fashioned by this age. Do not be influenced by the times, by what's going on. Right? There's another direction you can go in. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? So that's the alternative. The other direction you can sell out is to the world. You can sell out to the world and you can do what the world tells you to do, right? What the world thinks is correct, what the world says is popular, or you cannot be conformed to it and be instead transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? Because who's the God of this world? Right. Satan, the devil, adversary. Right? If we're conformed to this world, then we're basically conformed to what he wants people to do. Right? And that's not the best. That's not the best. So when we transform, and we know what it is to be transformed, right? As a kid, we played with these things called transformers. Right? The cars that turned into robots? That's pretty cool. Right? Or, you know, a good example would be a little caterpillar that turns into a butterfly. It's been transformed. Right? It becomes completely new. That's what it is to be transformed. But you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? We become different, and the way we become different is by renewing our minds, which basically means we renovate our brains. We change our thinking. We change our thinking. And the cool thing about this is there's a few places in the Bible where God uses the word prove, right? And where he uses the word prove is in a place where he wants you to put it to the test. Right? That's what that means. To prove something is to put it to the test. God asks us to prove it, you know, that he's going to do great things for us. If we renew our minds, that we will prove, we will put to the test what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for our lives, right? We'll put to the test that this is what God wants us to do. All right, go to Philippians chapter 2. So, the way that we can sell out is by renewing our minds. And that means changing our thinking, right? So when we work with our brains, we have to change our thinking. Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in who?
You.
Which was also in who?
Jesus.
Christ Jesus. That's right. So the Word of God says we can think Christ-like within ourselves. We can think the way that Christ thought. And how did Christ think? Well, let's keep reading. This is how Christ thought. Who, speaking of Jesus Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. That's what it is to be of the form of God. Not that he was God, but that he was the only begotten Son of God. He was perfect. And it wouldn't be, thought it not robbery to be equal with God is a funny way of saying, like, it wouldn't be inconceivable to think that he was, you know, on the same level as God, because he was God's only Son, right? He was perfect. He didn't sin. But, verse 7, instead made himself of no reputation, which literally means to be emptied himself, and took upon him the form of a servant. So rather than being like God, he instead became a servant. That's a big difference. That's a huge jump in status. God, servant. Right? There's a lot in between that. But Jesus Christ took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So that is how Jesus Christ thought. He was perfect, but he didn't think, I'm perfect, I'm perfect, I'm perfect. He thought, how can I serve? How can I take care of people? And he was humble and obedient. That's how he thought. What does God want me to do? That is what I will do. Even to the point of death. Even to the point where he had to die. He agreed willingly to die. Right? If anyone in the world had the right to call their own shots, it was Jesus Christ. But he humbled himself. So when it talks about in verse 5 that we're to think Christ-like, right, that's the example. The example is to do what Jesus Christ did, which is humble yourself and be obedient to what God's word says. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. So when it comes to renovating and working with our mind, we have to be humble. And we have to be willing to change. Willing to change what our old nature may be telling us to do instead of what God is telling us to do. Because your old man nature is contrary. The flesh is contrary to the spirit, right? It's going to make you think you want to do things that are not according to God's word. So you have to renovate that. You have to change that. You have to work with your brain and say, no, I'm going to do the word. 2 Corinthians 10:5 talks about this. It says, casting down imaginations doesn't mean you can't play imagination. Okay? You can pretend you're a dinosaur if you want. That's fine. Totally cool. Casting down imaginations means demolishing reasonings, our own thoughts. Right? Philosophy is literally like, you know, coming up with these ideas of your own thoughts and what does the world mean and what is this, what's the bigger picture here? That is philosophy. And the Word of God says that we're supposed to cast that down, your own thinking, your own reasoning. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, right? Because that stuff is against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, right? So we're to bring into captivity our brains. That's how we work with them, right? We capture it. We bring it back in, right? Our thoughts sometimes want to go here, there, and everywhere, and we want to capture them and bring them back in. So that's what it is to bring into captivity every thought. And we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, right? Christ always did the word. That's what we renew our minds to, right? So instead of our brains running in every direction, we capture it and bring it back in. You cannot always control what thoughts enter your brain, right? Sometimes you just think weird things and it happens. But you can control what you keep in your brain. So you can't stop them from coming in. Sometimes you think, I really want to punch that guy in the face. But you can say, all right, that's not right. I'm not going to punch that guy in the face. And you can get rid of that thought. Or you can hold on to that thought and then you punch the guy in the face, right? That's the part you have control over, right? You can sit there and think, I want to hit that person, or I want to steal that money or that thing, or, you know, I want to freak out about this situation. You can hang on to that thought and keep it there. If you keep that captive, that's what's going to end up being the result. But if you instead toss that one out and bring into captivity the word, that's how you renovate your brain. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. And Ephesians goes over working with your brain and then gives you some things you can think about. Some stuff that you can renovate too. Because some people, if they don't know, they can't change their mind. Talks about right here. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, unbelievers, walk. In the vanity of their mind. The expression vanity of their mind literally means the futility of their thoughts. Their worthless thinking. Right? So the instruction here is that you no longer walk as the unbelievers do in their worthless thinking, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Through the what? Ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Right? It's because of the ignorance. They're ignorant and they're blind to what the Word of God says. Whether that's because they've never heard it before, that's the ignorant part, or they're blind to it because they choose not to believe it. Right? So if they don't have it to change their mind to, they're not going to be able to. Verse 19. They don't have a choice, but we do. Verse 19. Who being past feeling. That doesn't mean that their feelings are in the past. It means that they have gone past having feelings. Right? Which basically is another way of saying callous or without shame. So these people who are in darkness, who are alienated from God, who don't believe, they're callous, they're without shame, and they've given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greedinesses. This is, that's a lot of ness, and it's bad stuff, right? It's bad stuff. They're basically, all they care about is greedy stuff, lasciviousness, unclean things, you know, a sinful life. They take pleasures in those things. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So we know better, essentially, that you put off concerning the former conversation or the former way of living, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That's how these guys were living. And be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. Right? So we can change our brains. away from that old man nature, away from that stuff, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication, words contrary to the truth that tear down, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's how we're to walk renewed. Right? And if you go back through that section, it talks about all kinds of different things that, you know, involve renovating your brain. You know, putting away lying. Don't lie. Don't, you know, get angry to the point where you're going to sin. Don't steal. You know, don't speak contrary things or things that are used to tear down. These are all things that we have to then change our thinking to do better. And it all culminates in walking in love. Walking in love. That's what we can renew our brains to. All right, so we know how to walk, and we know that we need to work with our minds to get there. So what else can we do to make that job easier? Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. First Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We can be thankful. That's a big thing towards working with our brains. We can be thankful. If you think thankful thoughts, then you're going to be blessed. If you're constantly thinking about things that you don't have or things that other people have that you lack, then that's what's going to be in your brain, and that's what you're going to be focused on. And it's going to be hard to renew your mind to the Word of God, because you'll always be thinking, well, what don't I have, or what does anybody else have, instead of just being thankful. Go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. This is the singing chapter. Psalm 100. I won't sing it, I will read it. Psalm 100. Here's some other things you can do. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We can make a joyful noise to God. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We didn't make ourselves. Much as everybody wants to be a self-made man, we didn't make ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Okay, so we have thankful and praise. Thankful and blessing his name, which is praise. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So we can be joyful. We can be thankful. We can give and we can serve. These are all ways that help us to work with our brains. Go to chapter 107. It takes effort to think about it, right? to be joyful and to be thankful sometimes. But that's part of the process. You renew your brain. 107:21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Right? That man would praise God for what he's done for them. But that's one of the things that we can do, is we can praise God for the wonderful things that he's done, for his goodness. Verse 22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. And so that's another thing we can do. Those two things in those two verses. Praise God, right? Give glory to him. Give him credit where it's due. That helps you change your brain. And declare his works with rejoicing. Talk about God. Talk about God in your conversations with other people. Tell people what God has done for you in your life. Tell people what God has done for other people that you've heard about, right? Keep the focus on God, and that's where your brain is going to be. We're going to close in Ephesians 5, verse 19. God shows us in Ephesians 5 the heart of a believer who controls and works with his brain, with his mind. So we want to sell out for God, right? That's our reasonable, logical service. And it starts with renewing our minds. Not letting all that other junk stay there too long. We kick it out and we replace it. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So this is the picture of a man, of a believer who controls their brain, who works with their mind. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Right? That you're just so blessed and so full of God's goodness in your heart. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, in the end, it just causes us to be thankful. It causes us to be so happy and so blessed to be putting that word on in our brains and to be renewing our minds to it, right? So that's how we can work with our minds, right? We can't control what's coming into them, but we can control what's going to stay there. And we know the word, and we think the word. We praise God. We be thankful for the things that he's done, right? We can rejoice, and we can talk about God with other people and the cool things that he's done. And that helps keep our brain always focused on God, just like Jesus Christ was, right? It was would have been real easy for him to say, I'm awesome, right? I'm perfect. But he made himself a servant to always do what God's word told him to do.